Shiva Dvarim Begoilam Vishiva Bechacham. Seven things that were stated regarding a golem, and seven regarding a chacham. So what's a golem? So you're thinking the golem of Prague. We're not talking about the golem of Prague. The Ben Yonah says, what is a golem? Anything whose tzura is not nigmeres is called a golem. Anything that is in the process of development but doesn't finish its development is called a golem. Now, in this context, what does it mean? So, in the Perish of the Yachin, so he says very nicely that we're talking about an Adam Shelo Niskan B'Midosav. He hasn't yet finished perfecting his Midos, Kiroi. And therefore he's called a golem. Meaning in this Mishnah, and Rabbi Yonah is similar. Rabbi Yonah says it's a person who, it's a little bit of a different direction. Rabbi Yonah's definition is somebody who you teach him and he hears what you're saying, but it doesn't develop within him an intelligence. Now you have people, you probably remember from school, that the teacher maybe even made reference to that. You know, your teacher would say, I don't want spit back. Now, there'd be certain students who they could hear what the Rebbe's saying and they could say back the words the Rebbe's saying. They don't really understand it. They're not definitely able to come up with their own understanding. And I'm sure we all, on a certain level, struggle with that in certain contexts, right? Sometimes you'll be sitting in a shir and you're working hard just to understand what's going on. And there are other people who have already processed it and asking questions. And there's a process of, in certainly when a person begins learning, that they're not yet nigmara surasan. They're not finished. So therefore, they're still working on many areas, as opposed to what's defined here as the chacham, is the person who already can make his own sfara. That's how Rabbeinu Yonah says it. The way that the Yachin and Tfaras Yisrael, the way that he says it, is we're talking about a person who has already, to a certain degree, been misakein their midos, whether it's the midos of intelligence or their midos of their own, what we refer to as midos, their character traits. And he points out something very interesting here in the Perush. He writes that the Mishnah doesn't say seven things with a fool, a sochel, or a pesi, a moron. It doesn't say chacham versus moron, versus a pesi. It's or an unintelligent person. It says a chacham versus a non-finished product. And the Yachin thinks, and you'll see once we read the Mishnah that it's such a great ha'ara, that the whole Mishnah is talking about a Talmud in yeshiva. Talmud lifnei rabo. We're not talking about, in general, a chacham versus a non-chacham. We're specifically talking about a person who's in a learning setting and is trying to grow in learning. So we're going to be told right now seven traits that if you have them, and I'm sure we all have them to a degree, if you have them, it's an indication that you're not a finished product yet and that you're not yet a chacham. So let's go in there and let's get our musar. So what are we told? Number one, chacham eino medaber b'fnei mishu gadol mimenu b'chacham uv'minyan. A chacham does not speak in front or in the presence of someone that's wiser and bigger than him in chachma. Ben Yonah says, rather, what does he do? Instead of speaking, that doesn't mean you should never talk. We know, in a baishan lomed, you have to ask questions. You can at some point maybe give your opinion if you're asked. Right? We're not used to this. Our more modern day conceptions is that, you know, speak up and everyone should have their own opinion and say your opinion. But again, I've brought this example before. If you're at a physics convention and Einstein is speaking and all the great physicists are speaking, I would hope you wouldn't raise your hand and say, like, you know, can I give my opinion? And even though, what do you mean? That's like the great story. And the guy raises his hand and he tells it and everybody realizes that he was really right. Okay, that's a nice story. And I'm not trying to take away your optimism. But Lemaisa, the Mishnah is telling us here that the chacham, when he realizes he's in the presence of bigger people, he sits quietly and he listens. That's true. That's what's going to make him into a bigger chacham, is if instead of hearing himself talk, right? Sometimes, I don't know, like Rav Shechter will be visiting yeshiva, And I don't know, myself, I'd say I'm going to be the one who's at the meal with him in the Chadar Ochel. So when it's time for Devar Torah, he'll turn to me sometimes and he'll say like, oh, you want to say something? And I'm like, I am not here so that I can talk. I'm here to hear you. You know, that's why we brought you. I don't want to hear myself. I want to hear you speak. So with someone like Rav Shechter, it's obvious that you should just be quiet and let him speak. But it's true when anytime you're in the presence of someone who knows something you don't know, you should be quiet. And that's what Rabbeinu Yonah had said on, there was an earlier Mishnah in Perek Gimel. Perek Gimel, Yud Gimel. The Mishnah there had said, Siag l'chochma shtika. A way that you get chochma is by being quiet. Doesn't mean you don't have an opinion. It means that you realize that there's a value to listening. In the Yochin, he says that part of being quiet is a recognition that even if you know you're really smart, it's a recognition that there's a certain value to experience. There's a certain wisdom of old age and experience that even if you're really, really sharp, you know, sometimes you have a guy, he's a real young whippersnapper and he's really sharp and he's really smart and he always is saying his really sharp opinions. But he doesn't always realize that sometimes a person who's older, a person with a little bit more experience, there's a lot to be gained from that experience. And, you know, I'm a little older than you guys, but I've recognized that sometimes, you know, you learn through a sugi, you think about a topic, and when you speak to older people, the ideas are just much more developed in their heads. They've cooked, they're baked, and it's important to put an ear to listen to what they have to say. Okay, number two. Eino nechras l'soch divrei chaveiro. He doesn't enter other people's speech, meaning he lets people finish speaking. He doesn't cut them off. Rabbeinu Yonah says, he's manicho l'daber ad she'esayim kol dvarov. He lets him finish speaking. As opposed to the golem, who's meshiv davar b'terem yishma. He responds before he even finishes, right? You know, like on the game show, like before the guy even finishes the question, someone already like splurts out the answer. So he says, that's not the sign of a chacham. A chacham waits, and then he responds. And we don't think that. We think, no, the real sign of chachma is I can respond immediately without even finishing near the end. Okay, that's gaiva. It's not chachma. A chacham waits, he hears, he listens. Eino nivho lahashiv. He's not memaher lahashiv. He doesn't respond right away. The one right before this was that he doesn't cut off. Now we're saying, okay, you didn't cut someone off. You let the guy speak. Now do you respond immediately or do you wait? I've told you this many times that one of the things that's always struck me about Rav Twersky, Shlita, is that when you ask him a question, so he sits for a very long time thinking, even if it's a topic that for sure he's thought about, he already has an answer, but he takes his time. He doesn't respond right away. Eino niv halashiv, he doesn't respond immediately. Then he says, that's midercha chachma. You'll give the most precise answer if you wait and you think about your words first. In the Yachin, so I think he makes a really beautiful chiluk here between Eino Nichnas L'Soch Divrei Chaveiro and Eino Nivol L'Hashiv. In Eino Nichnas L'Soch Divrei Chaveiro, he says that this is more for the person who's speaking to you. Number one, he says, you might, and this is such an amazing ha'ara, if you're in the middle of speaking and I cut you off, so I might confuse you. You know, it like throws you off. And you won't be able to present your position properly, right, if I cut you off. Now, why is that so bad? Because if I'm searching for the MS, I actually want to hear your ideas. If I'm really searching for the MS. And if I cut you off and I break your train of thought, when you end up are able to speak after I'm done cutting you off, you might not be able to present it as well as you originally were going to. And I should be upset about that because I want the truth. So I want you to be able to present your opinion as best as possible. You know, if you're on a debate team and you're debating with someone, so you want to cut them off because you want to throw them off because you want to win the debate. So you want to throw off, you know, his train of thinking. But if you're working with someone in a laboratory and you're trying to figure out, I don't know, the cure for something. So you don't want to throw him off. You guys are trying to work on something together. And this always goes back to our chavrusas, right? The oh, I was right. No, you were right. No, getting to the whole, that's what I said. That's what you said. That's what I said. No, what are you talking about? That's not the point of a chavrusa. The point of chavrusa is together we're trying to work and get to the MS. So that's number one, why you shouldn't cut him off. Number two, says the Yachin, it's not derech eretz to cut someone off. It makes him feel like whatever he's saying is not important, right? If you start speaking and all of a sudden I go, no, I know, I admit I'm guilty of this and I apologize. But sometimes in shir, someone will start a question and I'll right away cut them off and be like, no, that's not right. So it makes the guy feel like a piece of garbage. It feels like, make him feel like whatever he's saying is not worth it, that I'm just like brushing him off like that. So that's in terms of why we don't cut someone off. But in terms of eno nifal l'hashiv, that you don't respond right away, it's because you want to make sure that what you're responding is emes. That's more for you, that you want to think it through, you want to analyze it before you speak. So not cutting off is more about you're worrying about him. And eno nifal l'hashiv is more about you wanting to make sure that the words are clear in your head and the ideas are clear before you answer. Okay, next we have shoel ki'inyan umeshiv kahalacha. What does that mean? You ask questions that are la'inyan, that are germane, that are on topic. And when you answer properly. So here, the Yachin also has a very nice explanation. This one I think is just so important for midos. Shoel ki'inyan means you ask a question that's germane to the topic. You sometimes have people who ask questions that are really not the point of the shiur, but they want to show off that they know something. You know, like the guy giving the shiur mentioned some topic, and there's some guy in the shiur who knows something about that topic. So he raises his hand, and he starts asking a whole question that really has nothing to do with the shiur. It's just an opportunity for him to show that he knows what he's talking about. The Yachin says it even starker. He says, sometimes when you're asking a question that is germane, when you're asking a question that is l'inyan, you throw in other things that are not, because you want to show off what you know. Right? You say like, okay, we all realize that in this situation, there's a Rashba. So I'm not asking about the Rashba. But l'maisa though, what would the Ritva say? Now you could have left off the Rashba. We don't need to know, you know, we don't need the broadcast that you know what the Rashba holds. If the question's about the Ritva, the question should be about the Ritva. Ask ki'inyan. And Meshiv Kalocha means when you're answering someone, make sure that you're just addressing his answer. Sometimes also when you're answering, you can go off topic in order to show how much you know. And if he wasn't really asking that, don't answer that question. Sometimes a person will ask, and you could say like, you know, obviously it's sometimes when a Rebbe is trying to, you know, develop his Talmidim's Yeda of the sugya, so he might say, that's a very interesting question. You should know there's a whole Rashba about that. And the Rashba has a big arichos, and he says like that, but that's not really what we're talking about. We're really talking about this. So that's not necessarily so bad if he's doing it for pedagogic reasons. But sometimes a person does it just to show off. When a person's doing it to show off, and he's not doing it la mita shel Torah, you want to try to get your answers. You also want to make sure that the Talmidim get clarity. And if you start going far afield, they're not going to get the clarity. Okay, next. Omer ala rishon, rishon, the ala achron, achron. You answer, if someone asks you two questions, you answer the first question first and the second question second. You know, misudar. You order, answer kaseder. But Rabbeinu Yonah has an excellent ha'ara here. He says, that doesn't mean that you literally, ein perusho shi yoshev ala davar rishon b'rishon or b'ala shela achrona b'achrona. That doesn't mean you actually have to follow the same order that the questions were asked. Someone asks you three questions. You don't have to say, okay, answer to number one. Even though that's what it says. It says, answer the first question first, the second question second. No, Rabbeinu Yonah says, it means that your answer should be misudar. Which means that if one question, even let's say the second question, will give a background that will help answer the first question, so then you should answer the second question first. But the point is that you shouldn't just stam respond. You should respond in a way that's developed. And I think that if we would just extend this for a second, you'll all, Mirtz Hashem, have opportunities in your lives to share Torah, whether it's to your family, whether it's to your shul, whether it's to friends, whether it's Talmidim. And when you're sharing Torah, sometimes more effort needs to be put in to presentation than to the information itself. You can know a lot about a topic, but if you don't present it in a clear and organized way, so your Talmidim are not going to really gain from that teaching. And sometimes it takes more time on the Rebbe's part. You know, we're going to start the sugya of Bedikas Chametz. And there's a big sheet of Rashi, there's a big sheet of Tosfos. And I'm still in my head trying to figure out, should I first go into really developing Shitas Rashi or Shitas Tosfos? You know, when we did the sugya of Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh, I was also very unsure. Should I first develop the Shitas that hold that you're over on Chametz She'ina Yadua, like the Tor? Or should I first present Rashi about Re'iyah and present the opinions that hold that you have to have a Yediyah of the Chametz? And I went back and forth, and it took me a lot of time to prepare the shiur, not because of the actual information that I knew already, but trying to figure out what's the best way to present it that it'll be clear to the people in the shiur. So that's Omer ala Rishon, Rishon ala Achron, Achron, to recognize the value of Seder when you're responding. Number six, Amasha lo shama, Omer lo shamati. When you don't have a Masorah about something, someone asks you something, that you make it very clear, you say, listen, I never heard from my Rebbe anything about this, right? For us, Chachma and Torah is not just all about being smart. It's about having a Masorah. I remember once sitting in Shir by Rav Twersky. Rav Twersky was saying it, a Gavaldika thing. And my roommate and good friend who was sitting next to me in Shir, he started writing and he looked at me. He's like, this is our Masorah. We got to get this down. You know, the Torah that we hear from our Rebbeim, the Hesbeirim we have in Sugyas. So that becomes our Masorah. And we value that very much. It's not just about being brilliant. You know, there's an amazing line that I really, really love, that I heard from someone once when I was in graduate school and I was trying to, you know, balance my Torah learning and my degree, which was in Jewish studies, which had an academic element to it. And I was trying very carefully to balance the two. And someone had an amazing line. They told me that what's the difference between a Talmud Chacham and an academic and a professor? He said that when the Talmud Chacham says over a vort, and someone says, oh, I just, you know, Rabbi Kiva Eger says like that, so Talmud Chacham is super happy. He knows that he was mechaving to the MS. If Rabbi Kiva Eger, that's the greatest compliment you can give me, is that I just said a vort and Rabbi Kiva Eger said it. But if you're an academic and you're trying to write your dissertation and you tell someone, oh, you know, this is my theory, and someone's like, oh, you know, Carl so-and-so wrote about that already 70 years ago. So then he goes, oh, gosh, he's not happy. Because he wants to be Mechadish. He wants to be Mechadish. In Halacha and in Torah, if you think of an idea, and Rabbi Kiva Eger already said it, it's your Chiddush still. It's still your Chiddush. You know, you'll notice in Svarim, Mechabrim of Svarim are often right. V'nir Ali, blah, 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 blah. And then they'll write, V'achar kach matzasi. And for years, I always wondered, like, why are they doing that? What, it's like a gaiva? Like he has to. So just quote it from Rabbi Kiva Eger. What does he have to say? Okay, this is what I thought. V'achar kach matzasi, that Rabbi Kiva Eger says like this, and Baruch Shekivanti. You know, what is this? This is like you're trying to show off to everybody? And then I realized that no, because it's your Torah if you thought of it. The fact that afterwards you found it in, you know, if he looked up all the Rabbi Kiva Egers and then he wrote them in his name and wrote V'achar kach matzasi, but choose Rabbi Kiva Eger, that would be bad. That you shouldn't do. But if you thought about it, it's your Torah. Your Chiddush. Oh, but Rabbi Kiva Eger said it already. Okay, that's Gevaldik. That's beautiful. We value Masorah. And that's why when you heard something from your Rebbe, you say it over from the name of your Rebbe. And if you didn't hear something from your Rebbe, so you say, listen, I don't have a Masorah on this. Right? A lot of times we think it's much better to be a Mechadesh, to think of everything yourself. No. For sure, step one is it's great to have a tremendous Masorah from your Rebbeim. You'll see that by having a tremendous Masorah, it gives you the tools to be Mechadesh tremendously. So what you haven't heard from a Rebbe, you say, Lo Shamati. And then you could say, Aval Kach Nira Li, Rebbeinu Yonah says. Then you could say over what you thought. Okay, and last, number seven, Moda al ha'emes. You are willing to say, I was wrong. If you're in a debate with someone, I think I've told the story over before. I think I've mentioned in the past. I've heard the story about Rav Soloveitchik and I've heard the story about Rav Shach. And they both have stories how when they were giving a shir klali, and a Talmud asked a question, and the Rav closed the sefer and said, or came back the next day in Shir and said, okay, everything we were saying yesterday was wrong. That question made me realize everything I said here. Or Rav Shach, the story that he was giving a Shir Klali and someone asked the question, a Bachar asked the question, and he closed the Gemara and he walked out. He said, I realize my Mahalach is wrong. Dimoda al ha'emes. And I think I've mentioned this Ha'ara before, that as a Magid Shir, as a Ram, you know a lot more than the people in the room in general about the topic. I think I've said this before. It's very likely that one of you in the room, in our virtual room here, is more intelligent, raw intelligent than I am. That's very likely. I mean, it's probably for sure true. Raw IQ. You know, I didn't get the job because I have the highest IQ. There's a good chance one of you has a higher IQ than me. But I have a tremendous head start on you because I've been learning for a lot longer. So oftentimes you could ask an excellent question that might actually uproot everything I was saying in Shir. But because I have a lot of ammunition, because I've learned more than you, I could probably cover up for myself. I've said this as a joke to you before. I've said the easiest way is I could say, not so pashut. I think there's a big machlokas achronim about that, but we're going to leave that on the side for now. Boom, that's it. I just won the machlokas. Because you're like, okay, I mean, I'm not even sure. I don't even know the names of achronim, let alone, you know, I know a few. But so that's it. I just won. Rav Soloveitchik or Rav Shach, they could have done that in the Shir. The guy asked the Shaila. He could have said, that's not our topic right now. There's a big deal about that. There probably is a big deal about it. It's probably not even a lie. There probably is a big deal about it somewhere. But the point is that modal emes means that if someone makes a good point, you say, that's a good point. You're right. I have to reconsider what I thought. It's a good point. There's another story about the Rav. I think I've told you the story also where someone asked the Kasha from a Gemara and the Rav said there's a different way to read the Gemara. And then the Rav continued giving the Shir. So afterwards, the guy came over to the Rav and said, like, you know, you said there's another way to read the Gemara. Like, what's the other way to read the Gemara? And the Rav is like, I don't know, but there has to be another way to read the Gemara because I know for sure the Mahalach I'm saying is true. Like, I know that that Kasha is not going to ruin this Mahalach. So that's also a certain modal emes, because he, again, not a modal emes, but he was searching for emes. He knew that that Gemara can't be a Kasha. Okay, you could say, how did he know? Right? The Rav has the right to be able to do that sometimes. But modal emes means that you're searching for emes. So if that means you have to be moda, oh, but I'm going to feel like they're not going to respect me, the Talmidim, don't worry about that so much. Our goal is that we want to look for the emes. Now, I'm just going to end. The Yochan has a very nice ha'ara here in terms of the order of the seven things that were stated in the Mishnah. He says like this. He says, if you think about it, listen to the order here. Number one was before you speak. Don't open your mouth. Bifnei Agadol. Number two was while you're speaking. Once you've started speaking, don't cut somebody else off. Number three, when he finishes speaking, don't respond. Now we're done with the conversation. Now we're responding. So don't respond immediately. Number four, when you finally do respond, make sure that you're Shoel Ke'inyan and you're Meshiv Kalacha. Number five, when you're now being Marich in your Tshuva to the guy, make sure that you do it in the right order. Omar Rishon, Rishon, Yala Achron, Achron. Number six, if you have a suffix about what you're saying, so say lo shamati. And number seven, when you're finished and he responds, be willing to be moda ala emes. So the Yachin just shows very beautifully that the seven midos of a chacham, they actually follow the order, the natural progression of a machlokes or a discussion you'd be having with someone in the Torah. Starting with not speaking before speech, not speaking before gadol, and ending when he responds, your willingness to be modeh al ha'emes. The Mishnah ends and says, v'chilufeim begolem, that a person who's a golem, a person who's not yet finished, he's still a work in progress, so he's lacking in one of these, or in some of these, seven midos that the Mishnah highlights.